It is very sad, but so many of them have moved on. Some leave without a word, go back to the streets. Some move to a new town, new jobs, new dreams. I am happy for them. They're moving forwards with their lives, but I miss them.
They're coming to get you. Black out of Chrysler.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Hey guys, what's going on? It feels like it's been forever.
It's been a long time.
It has.
It's been a long time. Been a long time. Been a long Ronery.
King Johnny Zeppelin.
No Ronery.
What's up, Zach? How are you doing, my man?
I don't really want to go into it, Matt.
I don't either.
You don't really want me to. I mean, work has been a fucking nightmare, and yeah.
At least you've had work. Lindy, how are you doing?
Oh, you know, about the same.
Okay.
Work has been a fucking nightmare. It's Monday, uh-huh. So.
No. Yeah.
We're there, but other than that, living the dream. How are you, Matt?
Oh, not well. I'm doing better now. My car broke down. My work car broke down on me, just outside of Nashville, which sounds like a fucking beginning of a country song. But
that one is it. Is it the why did I ever buy $1,000 car?
I wouldn't have been as pissed if it was only $1,000 for the car. But at least I wasn't in Nashville.
Tear? Did I just see a tear? Did just wipe a tear?
Don't worry about it. There's nothing to see here. You saw nothing. So my car's been broke down for a week. I just got it back and I'm ready to go to the land of fucking Ed Gein tomorrow. But while it's broke down, I'm sitting here watching a horror movie trying to make myself feel better. And I get a call from my nephew. And he's like, hey, can Keegan talk? It's like, yeah. Well, Keegan was back in the bathroom. So I was like, oh, he's in the bathroom. So I'll have him call you when he gets out. This is about 15 minutes later. He calls back again. He goes, is Keegan going to call me? I was like, oh, shit, I forgot. So I go back there and I knock on the door. I'm like, dude, are you done? Yeah, I'm playing Fortnite. I was like, okay. He comes out of the bathroom, and then I gave him this headset to plug into the Switch so that they could play and talk to each other. And then I finally go back to the bathroom, and there is a fucking log in that son of a bitch. And it's wedged in such a way that it will not flush.
Ooh, did you have to break out like a 40 of old English or King Cobra while trying to get to flush in the toilet?
No, it's better.
Oh.
It's better. Here I am. This is my life. My car's broke down, so I can't work. I'm going broke, and I'm sitting back here on my knees cutting a turd in half with a plastic fucking fork.
You are right, man. This is definitely a fucking country song. It's, what's his face?
It's like, Walker. Oh, this is my life now. This is what I do.
What? Walker.
Turd cutter.
Walker right. Jr.
Oh.
Wheeler, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those kind of songs.
Yeah, yeah.
This is one of those onion tear songs.
Hold it. I had to cut it in half with a goddamn plastic fork.
I was like, I didn't know whether to cry or laugh, so I just laughed because it's easier.
Yeah. Hey, man,
that's what I'm doing.
I would have made my kid do it them damn selves.
I thought it was going to break the fucking fork. I was like, fucking hell, man. No more cheese, asshole. No more cheese.
Keep that boy out of Wisconsin.
I think about the only thing that chewed me up the week where I was sitting there, didn't know anything about my car, didn't know what was going to happen in the future. Some lady calls me about life insurance. She goes, how are you doing today? I was like, I'm fucking terrible. And she starts talking about life insurance. I was like, I just told you I'm terrible and you want to talk about my death? She hung up.
Oh,
so I giggled my ass off about that. That part was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Awesome.
That's good
awesome.
Stuff.
So I guess I'll be more open.
You always manage to find that one little kernel of corn in this shit, man.
That's all I got. That's all I got. Glass is half full still, I guess. So just look for a reason to laugh about something. Next time I'll share more with the audience.
Oh,
let you guys really in. I'll just open up and let everybody in.
Suddenly, my day doesn't seem so bad.
Oh, I'm sorry. It would be one of those things. You walk into a bar and someone's complaining that they lost their iPhone. I'm like, I'm sorry. Was you on your knees cutting a piece of shit in half so it go down the toilet?
No, you forgot that you have to add the plastic fork because
plastic
that,
with a plastic
that
fork?
Is what makes that story.
God, I needed a machete on that motherfucker. Somebody, like, I don't know how there's not blood in the water. Motherfucker. You ain't big enough for this. What the fuck? I need a turd knife.
Hold on a second. I'm feeling some turbulence.
Turbulence?
Speaking of turbulence, I'm sure that everybody knows that we don't record the exact same day that we put these out. So happy May the 4th.
Mm-hmm. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you.
All of the peoples who do that.
Me.
And this guy.
Fucking nerds. What do you want? You fucking want to miss now? Is that it? Is that what's going on? Jesus.
You wouldn't make it through a quarter episode and been like, these two guys are fucking nerds. Yeah. You're not wrong.
I have seen 1 and 2.
You are we talking about Phantom Menace
and Attack of the Clones?
Holy sure.
Shit. Or New Hope and Empire.
No, not the ones that came out first.
Oh,
my God. Actual.
No wonder you got a bad taste in your mouth for it.
I don't have a bad taste in my mouth for it. I just
have a bad taste in your mouth for it.
I'm not super big into
you have a really sensitive gag reflex is what you're telling me.
I'm not real big into like the outer space type fantasy
sci-fi
movies.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not either. Other than Star Wars and like the Alien franchise and Predator. But a lot of that, like Star Trek, I never got into that. That wasn't my jam.
Because you're a nerd, Matt, but you're not that big of a nerd. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm pretty big fucking nerd.
You're just not a smart nerd, man, is what you're saying.
No, you nailed it.
I'm not either. My wife's into Star Trek and I'm into Star Wars. But I'd rather be a ninja than like a calculator brain. Like, oh, we ain't going. I'm gonna cut you in half.
I walked into a gas station in St. Louis wearing a Star Wars shirt and a Blackhawks hat, and the lady behind the counter goes, "It's crazy you came in here." She goes, "I'm a Trekkie and a blues fan." Yeah, so we wouldn't work out. No, fair enough. It's okay.
That's when you say, "You're my yin, baby," and I'm the yang.
I didn't want to say anything else.
You believe me.
Well, you're not going to change me on either one, so there's really no point in this conversation.
Holy shit. Folks, we're 9 minutes in here, man. We started talking about stuff. Let's go. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Lindy, what are we talking about today?
Well.
Because we're going into this blind.
You are? Mm-hmm. I didn't tell you guys what I was doing?
No.
Yeah, well, you mentioned it, but I didn't do any research because I've been too busy looking at Business 104. Anyway, go on.
All right, well, I'm just going to jump right into the story because my very first three words will tell you exactly who we're talking about.
Right on.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dorothea Helen Gray was born January 9th, 1929. Her parents were alcoholics who drank every day of the pregnancy and every day after.
Ooh. Okay. What were they thinking?
They were poor.
They weren't thinking, Matt. They were drinking.
Yeah, exactly. They were very poor, and they drank away what money they could make. Dorothea was the sixth out of seven children. The parents pretended like they didn't have children most of the time, and when the children were noticed, they were beat if the parents could catch them.
Sounds like the start of a great story.
Yeah, with Dorothea.
Haven't we done this one before?
Many times.
This is pretty much script for the opening of most of mine. So.
Yeah. It's going to be repeated again, actually.
Yeah.
But Wendy, my next question to you is,
what does any of this have to do with gay porn?
Well, actually, none in this episode. There's none in this episode.
We're good.
So there is a lot of sex.
Okay. You got me. Okay. I'm listening.
So with Dorothea still being a toddler, she was the one who was caught often, and she did receive the brunt of the abuse. The children would be sent away on nights when their father bothered to return home because he was gone most of the time. They would go out to the streets in search of handouts, and sometimes the handouts could be really good, but often they resulted in sexual assault. Once again.
So handouts turned out to be hand jobs and...
And the streets.
Gross. So they grew up, they did go to church every Sunday, and, you know, going in church, they learned that sex was bad. Oy, 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 oy. So
sex bad, okay.
These kids basically just suffered what they dealt with in silence, and they never talked about it, because if they did, they would be labeled as monsters because they were children having sex, because they would have been blamed.
Yeah,
because they were the ones who were out trying to get handouts from
people. I feel like bottling it up super healthy, right? And yeah, that way you're supposed yeah. to
you know what, if you're a musician it actually can be, but if you're not, no.
So the kids were not strangers to sex. They lived in a one room house with two drunk, horny parents. Obviously, there are seven kids.
All right, so there's a one room house and two drunk, horny parents. All right.
Yeah. And the dad is incapable of pulling out.
Yeah. So, they basically just lived a really shitty life. And the worst part of it was,
how shitty was it, Lindy? To break out the plastic fork to like break it up in the toilet? Or...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Except their fork broke.
I'd rather cut a turd in half every day.
That's a fucking country song.
So if they were caught having, like if they were full because the handouts had been good enough, they were actually able to get some food, or they had money in their pocket, the parents would know that they had been out begging for food, and they would get beat even worse because the mom didn't raise them to be that way.
She didn't raise them at all, apparently.
Yeah. So the kids just basically, they suffered whatever assault they went through just silently. The father had passed out at work one day out in the fields and ended up catching tuberculosis, but they didn't know
him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They didn't know that it was tuberculosis at the time. He got sent home and he was on bed rest. And with this, he had exposed the entire family. So when he passed away, it actually came out that he had tuberculosis, and the entire family ended up being quarantined. Yeah, so the church in the neighborhood did come together. They provided food and money for the kids, and this was actually the best that the kids had ever lived. So, but with the father's passing, their income dried up because the mom was a major alcoholic and nobody would hire her at all. So she went and did the only job that she could get, and she took up sex work.
Yep.
Well, a little over a year, I think it was like a year and 1 month after the father passed away, the mom was with a client on their motorcycle, and the motorcycle got clipped on the rear end by a car, and it sent the motorcycle tumbling down a cliff. So the mom passed away.
I got like Austin Powers in my head, like.
So by the age
I'm
of
all nine, right.
Yeah, by the age of nine, Dorothea had lost both parents. The kids
like
were sent.
A blessing.
The kids were sent off to orphanages that had open beds, so they were all separated. But fortunately for the kids, one of their mother's sisters was able to find all seven children, and she adopted all seven of them.
Good on her.
Yes. So Dorothea didn't want to remember her first 10 years of life and the way that it had been. So she actually invented a new one. She told people that she grew up in Mexico. She had 18 brothers and sisters and was very loved and very well cared for. In fact, she told this story so much, she believed herself.
No.
This became...
That happens.
Yeah, this became part of her core belief, and she actually learned Spanish.
Wait a minute. Did this bitch fucking end up marrying Alec Baldwin? Wait a minute.
Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge. But, yeah, she actually ended up teaching herself, like, learning Spanish and taking on, like... that type of
alternate persona.
Yeah,
you gotta mask it somehow. Either deal with it or you're gonna have to do something, and that was her way of dealing with it.
My name is not Dorothy, it's Dorothy.
Well, the rest of the kids, some of them would just tell things like it really was, and some of them wouldn't talk about it at all, but Dorothea just didn't want that life, so she created a whole new one. Her aunt's home was super comfortable and stable. Unfortunately, though, according to the state of California, there were too many children. So the kids were removed and placed into foster care.
Too many puppies, too many puppies, too many puppies.
At 16, Dorothea realized that she was actually an extremely attractive girl and she had no problem getting men.
So she was like, oh my God, I just looked in the mirror and I'm like, so hot. I'm so hot.
Except with a little bit more of a Spanish accent.
Mm-hmm. I'm so hot. Yeah. Keep going.
So at 16, she dropped out of school and left the foster system. She hopped on a bus and went to Olympia, Washington, which is about where her funds ran out.
Capital.
She took up living in a teeny motel room with another teenage girl, and they both turned to sex work. Well, the time was prime for this. It was 1945, and Dorothea was a beauty, and soldiers were returning from war, so business was good.
What's your pleasure, sir?
Yeah.
I love you a long time.
The girls actually ended up having to rent other rooms to keep up with clients.
If there's a tie on the door, give me an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. Her
poor vagina must have been really tight.
Yes.
My lips are swollen, but I'm making good money.
Yes. Oh, my lips are sealed. Our lips are sealed.
So one of Dorothea's customers, Fred McFowl, proposed within a few weeks of meeting Dorothea, and at this time business actually was starting to slow down. Soldiers were starting to get back into the swing of being home and being in a normal life. So
I'm sorry, what kind of fucking life was he living? I paid her for sex, fell in love, and I asked her to marry me. What the fuck?
Sounds like she was probably not really
he wasn't a ladies' man.
He wasn't Jimi Hendrix. He was not experienced.
No. Well, this is one of the spots where I actually left out a lot of detail, but Fred would pay for extra time with her. So he would pay for a couple extra hours and just sit down and get to know her. And at this point, Dorothea had made up such stories about her life that it was captivating. And she would continue to do this throughout her entire life. So at some point, I will get to what her story ends up being. But
I kind of get if you're doing that line of work and somebody's paying for extra hours and you're not actually having to do that work with somebody else, you just talk. That's a good client right there. So I would get why she would maybe get some feelings. All right.
Mm-hmm. That's where you like break out the details like, your mother ate my dog. That's not alive for anybody.
So, yes.
Dorothea was great at two things. She was great at sex and she was great at cooking. But she was a terrible housekeeper.
If you're good at sex and housekeeping and cooking, I'll take care of the housekeeping. Fuck that.
Man, like, so like, got a dream. It's not bad. Yeah. That's a keeper right there.
A year into marriage, she got pregnant, and they had a baby girl. Dorothea had no interest in the child, though, and no...
How do you do that?
No bond with this child. I think being raised where the children are nothing, She was never really shown that you were supposed to have a bond with a child.
What you're saying is she was a product of her raising.
Yeah.
I just don't get when somebody looks at a child as a burden and not a blessing. It drives me insane. It's not my mindset. So
Dorothea would take the baby and she would drop her off at her mother-in-law's house.
I thought you were going to say balcony.
Oh, no.
Her mother. Her period. End of sentence. Yeah.
No, she would drop her off at her mother-in-law's house as often as possible for as long as possible. In fact, there were a couple of times where after a few days, the mother-in-law would call her son and be like, come get your kid.
Yeah.
I wish she wouldn't have done that. I don't have her come back and take it. I'm good. Well, I'll do this.
Well, yeah. Fred and Dorothea kind of became distant towards each other, but Dorothea realized that she was letting her cash cow slip, so she started doing better. She started cleaning the house. She started trying to take care of the kid, and she ended up pregnant again.
Because she's good at sex.
Yeah. Well, Fred was at work when Dorothea went.
She's good at sex no matter who's around.
No. It was Fred's baby.
No, but it was Fred. Okay.
So Fred was at work when Dorothea went into labor, and Dorothea decided that she wasn't going to bother him. She decided she was going to take herself to the hospital, and she gave birth to the baby. And before Fred even figured out where she was at, she had given the baby up for adoption.
Once that's again, a talk you should probably have. I mean, really, that's a conversation.
That might be a deal breaker for me.
Yeah. No, that's 100%. I've been like, you did what?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're gone, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to find this fucking kid.
So when she returned home with no baby and no baby bump, Fred was super confused. And instead of trying to spin one of her usual lies, Dorothea actually told him the truth. And Fred immediately filed for divorce. And he did everything in his power to find the baby and try and get it back. Good Unfortunately, man. Though, Dorothea did not list a father on the birth certificate, so he could not obtain rights to the baby.
Yeah, he wouldn't be able to. No, she probably said, oh, I don't know who it was, so Oh, what a cunt.
Yep. So Dorothea didn't contest the divorce at all, and she just kind of went around the house and took her stuff and took all of the cash that she possibly could, and she headed for San Francisco. In San Francisco, she rented a small apartment and intended to take up sex work again, but in 1948, it wasn't a very good year for sex workers.
It's been a bad year for sex work.
I don't know if there's ever been a bad year for sex work.
I thought you was pretty much always in business.
Well, keep in mind, too, that Dorothea had grown up as an underfed, undercared-for child. And then she gets married and she starts cooking for this man. So naturally she overindulges and she's had two babies. So she's gotten herself to be a little plump. Like, she's not overweight by any means, but she is plump now at this point. So, to supplement her income, she started stealing from the clients that she did get. But reports of thefts started rolling into LAPD, and she was busted really quickly. So they had...
I'm sorry, how did that phone call go? This hooker I fucked stole some of my money? So what?
Basically. I brought a woman home. She didn't provide me with the services that I paid for. She drugged me, and...
Oh.
So, I mean, I guess that... Some men were willing to tell on themselves back then.
I guess. If I'd have been taking that call, I'd been like, well, you don't have VD. So, that's
a dollar, baby. Anything for a dollar. Yeah.
That was a cheap lesson, buddy. I don't know how much you had in your wallet, but it's still a cheap lesson.
Yeah. So, there was actually an LAPD officer who went into the bar that she frequented, and she basically solicited him for sex and got busted.
That'll work well.
The judge went super easy, took it super easy on Dorothea, and he sentenced her to 1 year prison with parole at 6 months. And this was actually kind of a blessing for Dorothea, because in prison she learned cleanliness, she learned how to perfect her crimes, and she came up with the entirety of her life story that she was going to grace everybody else with.
Plus three huts and a cot without working.
So her story at this point was that she was born and raised in Mexico, and then she journeyed to the Philippines, where she was rescued by a soldier from the Death March.
I wish I had like some blues music.
She wed that soldier, and then he passed away tragically from a heart attack.
During so this, the sex.
So this is her.
She didn't go very good with that story. She could have been like, he died a war hero or some shit, but then she would have been like, well, what was his name? We would have heard about that in the paper or something. So probably,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, she is clever. Fucking minx you.
So 4 months later, she was released. She went to the city center in LA, and she found a steady stream of clients and money. And she could have lived like that for as long as her beauty lasted, but she ended up pregnant. Safe abortion was not a thing. So she carried full term, and in carrying full term, she couldn't make any money. So she ended up mooching off of old foster families and off of what family that she could find. And the baby was given up immediately.
Okay. She good for 14 siblings
in Mexico. And...
Yeah. So after this, she decided that she was going to turn to robbery because after the pregnancy, she did not want to end up in that situation again. And she began husband hunting. Well, this time it took her nearly 2 years to find a husband. So, the second unfortunate soul was Axel Johansson, and he was a merchant seaman who became enthralled with Dorothea and her made-up stories of life. So at this point, she had the story that I just told you, but now she had added to it, and she was a chef who also spent time as a Rockette dancer. So she would go do the Rockette dancing 5 days a week, and then she would come back home to LA 2 days a week and do the cooking stuff. And she met people like, I think she said Raquel Welch was her best friend, and she she regaled him in stories about what they would do and the reason that she was the reason that she was currently not doing the Rockette dancing is because there was an accident on stage in which one of the girls' heels broke. She fell and knocked into Dorothea, and Dorothea fell and knocked into another girl. The other girl fell all the way off the stage. Dorothea landed on top of her. So Dorothea walked away without a scratch, but the other girl was still in the hospital and could not perform anymore.
Domino.
Wall breaker. She's fucking innocent.
Yes. So they
Lindy, you hit mute.
You hit mute, Lindy.
There Sorry.
You're good.
They married, and after the honeymoon period, Axel went back out to sea.
And oh, yeah.
Was he a couple hours late?
So because of his nature of work, he was gone for weeks or months at a time, and Dorothea ended up being left alone, and alcohol became her best friend.
Sounds like she is
on the night train.
Yeah. Yes. So she would let the house fall. She would let the house fall to filth, and she intended to clean up before Axel returned, but in her drunken haze, she lost track of the days, and he returned to just a grotesque home and a wife that was passed out in bed.
Nope.
Exactly.
I'm out. Nope. I can't do it. If I come home and the fucking Venetian blinds have been broken in one spot, I'm like, you fucking buy a new one and put it up. That drives me insane. I can't stand that shit. Nope.
Well, taking off wasn't Axel's response. Axel's response was to beat the shit out of her for poor housekeeping, for her drunkenness, and for her lack of a warm welcome. So, before her bruises had even healed, the house was put back into order, and life went back on track. Dorothea blamed herself for...
So she learned her lesson.
She learned her lesson.
That's awful.
He didn't have to tell her twice? What?
Not this time. So he delayed going back to sea as long as possible to try and kind of, you know, make sure that Dorothea wasn't going to go back to alcohol and that kind of stuff. But lack of money and lack of interest in his wife sent him back to sea.
Wow.
So he was starting to tire of her stories and that kind of stuff. He was like, you know what? This is all just kind of shit. Fuck you. I'm going back
to sea. Bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dorothea.
It's not much different being a trucker. It was time to go. So it's like, oh, I've had enough.
See you later.
Yeah. Pieces.
Well, Dorothea decided that she wanted to make her own money. And so she started bringing men home. And neighbors made damn good and sure that Axel knew about it.
Yeah, let them know where you live. What a fucking rookie mistake.
Yeah, yeah. So her beatings and her lies became more regular. She was starting to acquire pills, and she was doing a lot of reading about what these medications could do and that kind of stuff. So...
Okay.
So, with this, there was a neighbor who was, like, terrified of her husband and was really trying to find a way to better her life and get away and that kind of stuff. And so, she came over and was talking to Dorothea, and Dorothea gave her some advice.
She is a cook. Here's the recipe for arsenic soup.
So, yeah, Dorothea gave her some advice, and the woman actually did end up being able to leave her husband. The husband lived.
Oh.
But after that, they started calling her La Doctora, and people would start coming to her for medical advice instead of going to the hospital or, you know, like where you should go, the actual doctor.
Totally legal. Totally legal.
Yeah. She was handing out, you know, advice and medication, like, just here you go.
That's all you need.
So, yeah. Well, Axel started to become afraid for his neighbors because
he should have been looking out for number one is what he should have been talking to. Yeah. I've been scared. I'm not coming back to that motherfucker. Mm-hmm. You can't keep a house and I'm pissed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he, in all of her stories of life, she had never mentioned anything about medical school, right? Like, right. So
got to get a new story.
He confronted her and he was like, hey, you're going to wind up killing somebody. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Well, she was not having this, and she changed her past yet again.
I didn't. Yeah.
Because while she was in Mexico, before they left, she actually did start going to medical school. So she did have some training. She had just...
She had a toe in the water anyway.
Yeah, she had just never told him about this.
Of course not.
Well, Axel was like...
Small.
Yeah. Axel was like, you know. So he did, you know, the most natural thing he could think of, and he had her committed.
Good for him.
Yeah. Well, mental illness.
It's a new jacket I bought you. Don't worry about why the sleeves are so long. Just try it on.
It's white, baby. White's your color. White.
Yeah. No, it goes on them backwards. It's supposed to. It's be great.
It's the new trend. It's the new trend.
You're going to be so warm.
Crisscross will make you jump. Jump.
So, mental health care was not good back then. So she was actually diagnosed with schizophrenia and ordered to stop drinking because the drinking
I'm surprised it got to that. But that was probably what was wrote down on paper. As soon as she was in the room, they was like, this bitch is crazy. That was what they wrote down. But
no, Matt, you got it all wrong.
They really didn't.
This bitch is loco.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. She was Mexican. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So they,
no
they
more really service.
Didn't have, no they really didn't have narcissist or psycho as terms in the medical realm yet.
Which, oh, shit, I thought she was talking about me.
No. Which, you know, which is what she really was. But so she was given these orders. She was given some medication. She was released back to Axel's care.
And then she was like, holy shit, this is going to go really good with these four Budweisers I got in the fridge.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Doris beer.
Axel once again put off going back out to sea for as long as possible. When he did leave, he spent his entire time consumed with dread about what his wife was doing. And so he ended up deciding that he was going to come home early. And when he got there, his house was spotless. It was pristine. It was organized.
Would they give this bitch Adderall or what?
Xanax?
Everything was in its place except for his wife.
Who was
gone.
Didn't Garth Brooks write a song about this?
Sure, yes. Gone like a freight train, gone like yesterday.
Okay.
I don't think it was Garth Brooks.
No, that wasn't Garth Brooks. No. He did the one about the truck driver coming home.
Oh, yeah.
Drives it right into the fucking motel room. Drives his ring
Papa,
right into
her song
Mama.
Would be more like, she's getting dick down in Dallas. Boston. That's her country song.
Yeah. So Dorothea headed to Sacramento, and she got in contact with some of her sex worker friends from there. And together they decided that they were going to open a brothel.
And, let's do this.
Yeah. So the law basically was turning a blind eye to this because quite a few officers were taking part in the brothel. And
also, they were probably getting skirted money under the table, too. So, yeah.
Good. But some other sex workers in the area were upset because they were not included as a part of this, so they ended up reporting the brothel.
That's a huge bitch. Yeah.
An undercover agent went in and
I bet he did numerous times. Well, I haven't cracked it yet. I gotta put me back undercover again. You guys are paying for this, right? I've got to do my due diligence.
You do not know the power of the pussy side.
So Dorothea basically was just the receptionist, but type person. So she, when the undercover agent came in and was talking to her about what he could get and nothing sounded good to him, she basically was like, okay, well, just slip me $10 and I'll give you a blowy here. And
that was enough.
That's a cheap fucking blowy.
And she was like,
$10. $10? What the fuck?
Well, keep in mind, we're probably in the early 50s now. So,
oh, okay. So $10 would be like, what, 40 or 50?
Uh-huh.
Maybe. So that's just a rough guess, but still, $50 for a blowjob is. That sounds damn cheap. I mean, how many times you got to take a girl out to eat before you're going to get one? Fuck, that's way more expensive.
It's a lot of Red Lobster.
Well, Dorothea ended up receiving 90 days in jail for this.
All right. It was more expensive than I thought.
Yeah. So she had nowhere to go upon her release because her husband would not respond to her. He was actually in the middle of filing for divorce.
Shocker.
So she was immediately arrested again for vagrancy.
My wife's Heidi Fleiss. Yeah, I'm not getting back a hold of her, really. It's just probably not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So with her backup plan gone, because she honestly thought that Axel was just going to answer the phone and take her back and everything was going to be good. And
The world of delusion this bitch lives in is just fucking insane.
Where did you go? Where did you go now? Where did you go?
Yeah. So with her backup plan gone, she made a reputation in the jail as a healthcare expert. And when she was about to be released, she was put in touch with some people in the care industry. And she actually ended up getting hired as a nurse's aide.
Mm-hmm.
So she was tasked with going to the homes of the elderly and caring for them. And she would cook for them, but she would cook for them and stay and eat, so she had food. Mm-hmm. She would slip some of their pills into her pockets. She would swig off of their liquor. And she would pocket any loose cash or jewelry that they had around the house.
Angel of Death. Mara to the Kingdom of the Dead.
Yeah. So, but Dorothea was always super helpful, and she was cheerful, and she was friendly, and the clients...
As long as they had the pills and the booze and the money.
Yeah. Yep. So her clients trusted her so much that they actually started to allow her to do their banking and pay their bills for them.
She's a really sweet girl when she's on mescaline.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, let's just say in 1966, Dorothea was able to retire from private nursing. So that banking gig paid off real well. Uh-huh. She was just basically cashing their checks and giving them a stipend and keeping the rest. And
she's
so
got
she
one hand in your pocket and the other one is giving you a high one.
Yeah. So she's got one hand in your pocket and her mouth on a dick for $10.
40, man. It was 40.
$40. $40 now. We're moving on up.
So she retired herself from private nursing before anyone could connect any dots of death or of theft. So there had been a couple of her elderly clients who she may have accidentally overdosed on her medication.
I'm sorry. Accidentally? Are we accidentally?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that they wouldn't notice her rummaging around their things and stealing stuff. They just, you know, didn't notice.
What are you looking at? Just eat your soup and leave me alone.
Basically, yeah. So she rented a house on the corner of 21st and F Street in California.
Appropriate.
And she hoped to obtain a boarding house license so she could care for her clients under her own roof. Meanwhile,
it's easier to kill them that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Meanwhile, she was, you know, robbing them blind.
Meanwhile.
Yeah. So Dorothea received help getting the house ready from the illegal immigrant community and the homeless community.
Why would she do that to her own kind?
Well, she was actually, she ended up getting a reputation for being super charitable to these people. Like, she always would make food for them and she
keep the story going.
Yeah, she would give them work and she would overpay them for the work, that kind of stuff, so that she had a good reputation among these people. And
I don't give a damn about my bad reputation.
So one of the illegal immigrant workers that was part of that community who was helping her, basically was doing all of the handyman work. His name...
Brother Miguel?
No. He was a 20-year-old worker, and his name was Roberto Puente. So he actually ended up seeing a future with Dorothea, you know, basically marrying her and becoming a legal citizen, and she had a boarding house. So, you know, just I'm coming over. Yeah.
Win-win.
Because she was his senior, not by a ton, but she was his senior. So all
so
of the other workers.
Into older women.
Just Dorothea.
just her.
Yeah. Just her. So all the other workers were let go, and Roberto became the full-time handyman. The boarding house opened in 1966 and was filled immediately.
I think a lot of things were filled immediately when Roberto showed up.
So in 1968, Dorothea and Roberto officially married, and news started traveling back to her that her husband was courting other women. But Dorothea, at this point, really didn't care because she was making immense amounts of money off of the people that she was boarding in her house. She was doing all of their banking work for them, too.
You can't hold Roberto down. He's a player.
Right? So as long as Roberto was busy and he didn't
pay attention to the finances?
Yeah, basically. Or, you know, like he didn't cramp her style. She didn't care because at this point, Dorothea was donating large, extremely large sums into the homeless community and the illegal immigrant community to basically, you know, like to help them to decrease the amounts. And
Trust me, just trust me. I'm this
yeah.
good. Trust me.
And she was taking on the people who essentially even caseworkers had given up on because they were so bad off that there just didn't seem like there could be any help. There was no getting through to them. There was nothing. So
Oh, hopeless cause or whatever.
yeah, so Dorothea was the one taking on these clients, which is one
Are
of the
you
reasons
saying
why.
she's a really bad lady, but she's trying to do good things? She's trying to.
Yeah. She's got
Well,
intentions behind
level up the karma. That's what I'm hearing.
the thing is that they knew that Dorothea was like the state and the community knew that Dorothea was basically these people's last hope. If they slipped out on her, they were going to end up dead. So when they disappeared, nobody asked any questions
And they just kind
plus
of let it go.
if
Let
you're
it
in
go.
her position where she's making all that money and you're dumping money into it, that just you're financing yourself to keep it rolling.
What we have
Be
ourselves
smart.
here is a much cuter, much more fuckable Belle Gunness, is what I'm hearing in your story.
Well, Dorothea Puente kept the grandmotherly persona, so like she had really bad teeth and she had them all taken out, and because of the way that she had lived.
Oh, that's why she was getting $10 for a Hummer as a gummer.
Yeah, she didn't look like she was in her 40s at this point. She looked more like she was in her 60s, 70s.
Hitting it pretty hard.
Yeah.
Got
Yeah. So, but
it.
Roberto did
Can I get a
decide,
hand
Roberto did decide that he was going to be by his wife's side when she actually did start to become basically famous. So now Dorothea and Roberto could be seen at high dollar banquets with people like Ronald Reagan and Clint Eastwood.
Wow.
And Roberto's like, oh man, higher class of pussy up here. I can go chase when she's not paying attention.
Yeah. So, but then Roberto's work started slipping and they started to argue constantly. So when he took off in the middle of the night, it was actually a relief to the residents of the house and a relief to Dorothea. Like, she started working bars again, like drugging men and robbing them and taking them to their house this time to do so.
That's a smarter move.
She's
Way
getting
smarter.
Well, it must have been smarter because she was able to keep this up for 9 years.
Holy smokes.
This
Yeah.
woman must have been. I mean, you said she looked older, but well, I guess if it's closing time, you would go look for the loneliest sack of shit sitting at the end of a bar somewhere and take them home.
She's
The
got money.
loneliest
She,
sweat. Well,
Girl's got money.
lure them in with the money.
The loneliest sack of shit with the best clothing on.
Yep. So, well, she actually she kept it up for 9 years. Until she met her next husband.
Good
And
Lord, there are
are we
some
on number
desperate
four now?
sons of.
We're on number four, right?
1, 2, 3. Yeah, this one is four.
Yeah. There are
So,
some desperate fucking people out there. This is crazy to me. I don't.
yeah. Well, this one I think she was more desperate about. Hold on.
Okay.
So, Pedro Montalvo was an alcoholic that she met at the bar. But there was something about him that made her want to know him more. So instead of drugging him, like she did everybody else, to get an invitation back to their house so that she could just rob them, she actually held a conversation with this man all night. And shortly after that, he ended up moving into the boarding house, and then he ended up moving up to her room. And they married, but Dorothea never filed the paperwork because she was still technically married to Roberto. There was never a divorce there.
Ooh.
Pedro, though, soon revealed his violent temper, and Dorothea once again became a punching bag.
Uh-oh.
And this was really, like, really bad.
And at this age, your wounds ain't going to heal as quickly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So residents of the house were like, we're going to go. Things started to turn real bad real fast for Dorothea because of her marriage. Pedro actually also took off on a bender one day, and he just never ended up coming back, which was a huge relief, again, for everyone. It was a relief for Dorothea and her pocketbook. It was a relief for the residents because they felt like they could come home again.
Her taste in men is impeccable.
Yeah.
Trying to date her dad.
Yeah, that's what. Yep. That's, well, mm-hmm. that's, no, mm-hmm. you nailed it, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so this time Dorothea decided to stay single, and she got smarter, and she started targeting pensioners in the bar, and she found a way to get their checks sent to her address. So now she started to invest her money, and this brought her in contact with a woman named Ruth Monroe. Now, Ruth's husband was gravely ill. He had cancer. He couldn't beat it. She ended up, like,
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, she was spending more money than she was bringing in, and her husband had a business that had actually been very successful, but Ruth couldn't spend any time there anymore because it was draining what they had.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So Dorothea chose to invest in the food business, and Ruth Monroe ran a catering company that needed the help. The two women decided that they were going to actually open a location, and they did. And it was extremely successful. Between Ruth and Dorothea's cooking, there was nothing that you couldn't get at this restaurant that wasn't just absolutely fabulous. Like, this was the place to go.
I should have ate something before we did this episode. I'm fucking starving.
I was going to say, I ate a cheese sandwich before we started.
Give me a carne. You get some carne asada tacos from what town's what I'm going to do.
I want Mexican now.
I want it now. Yeah.
So these two women ended up being friends, by now you figured out that Dorothea is not a woman who is capable of companionship. She doesn't have emotion for other people. She doesn't have feelings for other people. So they became friends in a way that Dorothea could. They spent, you know, long hours.
In the best way a sociopath can be a friend with somebody else, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Dorothea actually did enjoy spending time with Ruth. She enjoyed her stories and that kind of stuff, but it wasn't really a friendship. Ruth, I mean, Dorothea obviously didn't really care about
Ruth. Right. Business partnership.
Yeah. So, at this time, there were allegations against Dorothea that she was misappropriating funds, and these allegations are starting to stack up. So she's starting to be investigated. And now she knows that she needs to come up with a way out of this situation. And at the same time, Ruth's husband he's losing his battle with cancer. And Ruth ended up having to sell her home, basically for pennies on the dollar. Just to keep her husband.
A little bit, I'm sorry.
That sucks.
When you said she had to come up with something, I immediately what popped in my head was, I did it all for the nookie. Come on. Come on. So you can take that fajita.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get up here.
Yeah.
If it's in the story, I'm going to let it go.
That's not here, so I got to throw one punch.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah, no, let's keep this going every fucking episode if we can.
All right, I'm sorry. Continue.
So when Ruth ended up having to sell her home, she didn't have anywhere to go. Well, she did. She had a son, but the son lived really far away. So if she had ended up going and moving in with the son, she would have had to have given up the business and her life. And she didn't want to do that. So
she just kept rolling then.
Yeah. Well,
there you go. Roll with it, baby.
Ruth was actually very surprised when Dorothea offered her a room. at the boarding house. Like, hey, you know what? I know that you're suffering. I know that your husband's suffering. I have an extra room, and I don't need any additional money. Just keep running the restaurant. You can come live here. So Ruth got a room there rent-free, and life was great for a little while, and then Ruth got really sick. Yeah. So Ruth started to find that she was feeling really sluggish and super weak, and she was just so tired all of the time. And Dorothea decided that, you know what, Ruth needed to not be in her own room. She needed to come upstairs to Dorothea's private rooms that she had above the boarding house.
So we can get this done quicker.
And yeah, well, Ruth needed to care for her. She needed to wait on her hand.
Oh, yeah. But,
well, Ruth's son...
injected with a poison.
Yeah, Ruth's son knew that Ruth was, you know, starting to get sick, and he was worried that she was, you know, starting to get overwhelmed with the restaurant and Dad being in the hospital and all of this kind of stuff. So he came to visit, and he knew that something was off, but he couldn't figure out what was going on, and he knew that Dorothea was behind it, but there was nothing that he could do to prove it. So he offered to let his mom come home with him. She said, no, I'm being taken care of here. Things are well.
Well, yeah, she was.
It's fine. I'm just gonna ride this out and see if I don't feel better. Well, in April of 1982, Ruth died. Naturally, with all of the allegations and everything that were going on around Dorothea, there was an investigation into Ruth's death. And in the end, it was ruled a suicide because they did find sleeping pills in Ruth's system, but she had been prescribed the same sleeping pills to be able to rest while she was dealing with the things that were going on about her husband.
I Chihuahua.
So Dorothea drained her and Ruth's shared account and planned to move to Mexico, but she was busted at the airport.
Too many cucarachas in her suitcase?
Because the investigation that was going on around her, they had been watching her, and when she took bags to the airport, they were like, no, hold her, we'll be right there. So the investigations into the robberies landed her 3 convictions, and she was sentenced to 5 years in prison, and as part of her parole, when she was released, she was not allowed to run a boarding house or work with people of a diminished capacity any longer.
How many people do you think she's killed at this point?
At this point, I think that she killed between 5 and 10 in her nurse's work.
Wow.
And...
I gotta edit that out.
What? Why?
Yeah. It's copyrighted, man. I can't...
There's like 3 seconds.
Doesn't matter.
So she wasn't allowed to do that anymore, and that's where I'm going to leave you this week.
Okay. Well,
champion.
Nicely done.
Well done.
I'm enjoying this a little more because I don't think we've killed any children yet. We gave some away. But
I made a promise to you last time that I would not do that for a few episodes. So I'm going to tell you
that
there is no child murder in this.
Muchas gracias. Yeah, last time I brought some home.
We'll tell you actually.
Don't fucking do it, Matt. Sounds like your sister needs to go hang out with Dylan. Perfect murder cabin. Got it. You could just drill some holes in it to, you know, drain the blood out. Got it.
When the fucking thing fell, he's really that
big. This have to do with gay porn?
I was more creeped about it.
That would definitely do it for me. That would be like, you'll get her done, man. You'll get her done.
Yeah.
All right.
So I thought I'd throw that part in there.
Anything else? All right. Continue. Please and thank you. I was going to say, don't give it all away in one. God dang, son. Well, guys, thank you for hanging out with us this week. We really, really appreciate it. Lindy, awesome job.
Thank you.
Can't wait to hear the conclusion. And
I'm gonna go.
Obviously. Guys, if there's anything you want us to do differently on the podcast, hit us up on hmfppod@gmail.com. Let us know. If you have any show suggestions, same thing. Or if you just want to bitch and moan and complain about
me
what we're not doing right, you could send us an email or you can hit us up on Spotify. That's the easiest way to do it.
I can't wait for those. That spars a bit of a dick. Section
that you can just type in whatever you want and just be like, Zach sucks balls.
Like all of that.
That's 99% of it, probably. Yeah.
Which I agree with. I'm not going to do that. So you could just.
No.
It's never going to happen. God.
The majority of my episodes are dark. There's got to be some levity in there. There's got to be some levity in there. There's no let me talk all the way through or else.
I was trying to be a good boy this week. I was trying to be pretty quiet.
You guys did fantastic.
Well, guys, we will see you again right here next week on Tuesday. Until then, I'm Zach.
Lindy.
See you next Tuesday.
We will see you next Tuesday. Later.
Bye.
I watch with you.
Back having to get you.
Back out of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
What's my line, Zach? What's my line?